Good morning, and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters, where we spotlight key health issues and community concerns across the Upper Cumberland. I'm Dr. Emily Lee.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry.
We're professors at the Whitson Hester School of Nursing at Tennessee Tech University. June is National Men's Health Month, a time to raise awareness about the unique health challenges men face and to encourage early detection, preventive care, and healthy lifestyle choices. From routine checkups to safety awareness and staying up to date on vaccines, taking charge of your health is one of the best things that you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Joining us today is Dr. Ernie Buchanan from Upper Cumberland Family Physicians. He's here to talk about the importance of men's health, steps men can take to prevent illness and injury, and why regular screenings and vaccinations are key to long-term wellness. Dr. Buchanan, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. And I like women, too.
Okay. So okay. So it's not just men. I like it. Yeah. I like
it. And thank you for Tennessee Tech. Your nursing program and the nurse practitioner program has really changed healthcare in Upper Cumberland in a good way.
Oh,
it's really remarkable.
Thank you. We try really hard. Yeah. Emily and I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anybody can go anywhere from Tennessee Tech, including space, as we just saw.
But yeah.
How nice it is for them to stick around and help their friends and neighbors.
It is. It is. And that's what this is all about, this Local Matters, Health Matters, is to letting the Upper Cumberland listeners know what resources are out there, and it's right in your backyard.
It is. Mm-hmm. Right here in the Upper Cumberland. Well, let's start with an introduction. Can you tell us just a little bit about your background and your role in family medicine?
I'm just a country doctor from Cookeville. I grew up here. My mother's a retired nurse. My aunt's a nurse. I went to Tennessee Tech. I love this town, and I've been doing it for, this is my 26th year, and it's been great.
26 years. That's awesome. So what led you to pursue this career in family practice besides families being in nursing? Mm-hmm. Why'd you pick family practice?
Well, it's a long story. When I was going off to medical school, I remember saying, I'll never come back to Cookeville. I'm never coming back to this little town, and I'm not going to do primary care.
And I'm sure that hurt your mother's heart.
Yes, and of course I was wrong. And it turned out to be exactly what I was supposed to do.
Right.
And I love science, and I love a practical application of it. In our house, the only people our family listened to were doctors and preachers, and I clearly couldn't be a preacher.
Well, never say never.
Exactly.
That's
correct.
What I
yeah,
say.
There might be a third act where I
there
I,
may
I
be.
Do. Sometimes it feels like I am preaching. So
exactly to your patients. Sometimes
exactly. Yeah. So tell us about your practice, Upper Cumberland Family Physicians. What kinds of patients and health concerns do you typically see there? Tell us about the practice as far as hours. How many providers are there? Those kinds of things.
Dr. Gocher and I are the two doctors there. We have four. Wonderful nurse practitioners that work with us, and we basically do cradle-to-grave care. We don't ask you to come in once you're deceased, and you do need to be born for us to see you. Other than that, we're open to it. We are trying to emphasize prevention more than ever before. We have a new focus on wellness, and we're really trying to improve that. That's something we recognize that no one in traditional healthcare has been doing as well as they could.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we can always be better. Health promotion, maintenance, wellness. For sure, prevention. So we're talking about men's health with local family physician Dr. Ernie Buchanan. So at Upper Cumberland Family Physicians, you have two doctors, four nurse practitioners. What's the hours of the clinic?
We start seeing patients at 8 and go until about 5. It's Monday through Friday, but we do have after-hours access through the telephone.
Okay.
We're very integrated electronically. We have portals you can talk to us with. Until just a few months ago, we were both doing hospital medicine too. Dr. Gocher still does.
Okay.
It's a very traditional family practice, but we try to use modern tools and technology to make it easy.
Okay.
I want you to feel like we're a country doctor, but that you're getting big city care.
Very good. So what if we need to see you that day? Can you call and get an appointment the day of?
Almost always. That's why we have the extenders. We try to leave room for all of our patients to get in. You can't plan your illnesses. You can plan your prevention visits, but you can't plan your illnesses.
Good point.
Yeah. So you're there when we need you. So what makes family medicine unique when it comes to caring for patients across all ages? You said cradle to death and all stages of life, because there's lots of stages.
It's a great blessing to get to know people over 20 years. I have patients now that I've been seeing for 20 or 25 years. It's a great curse when they pass away, but it is a great blessing along the way. I think that's what makes it unique. There, every day there's a transcendent moment that makes the entire day worth it. It's also unique in that often I see a spouse that tells me something about their mate that I did not know. Mm-hmm. I also get to see the environment children are growing up in. It makes it a little bit easier, and it also makes it a little bit harder. But it's never boring.
Yeah. I'd say you have several families that you see the whole family unit.
A lot of times they all come together.
All
in the room together. And they all have questions, and we're happy to have them.
Yes, no.
We understand that very well. So do you find that men, because we were focusing more on men's health today, do you find that men are generally proactive about their health or not?
I don't really think so. You don't either, do you?
No, no.
No, I don't want to throw my whole gender under the bus. But,
no. It's a myth. It's a myth that, men are proactive.
I often see a man that gets his oil changed routinely, religiously, tires rotated.
I know.
And never had a colonoscopy.
Exactly.
Never had a discussion about prostate health.
Very true. Very true.
Yep.
That's a good way to put it.
And that's when it helps for the spouse to come and say, did he tell you he's having chest pain when he walks up the stairs? Did he tell you he passed out and split his head open? And that is a big help to me. But men are not proactive about their health.
They tend to downplay things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, minimize symptoms.
Yes.
Concentrate on something else.
Yeah.
We don't like to submit to others. It's a curse.
Yeah. But you being a man, I think, in family practice, I know you, Dr. Gocher's female, so I think as a male physician, maybe that would attract more men to you to be more proactive. I mean, I'm just kind of thinking out loud.
I think it helps when I can tell them it's something I do or something my father did or my brothers do.
Yes.
And I try to treat patients the same as I would my family. That makes a big difference.
Yeah. And you say that. I've heard you say that in the clinic.
And being from here helps because I'm afraid of the same things they are. Mm-hmm. I see the same things they do. And that really, really helps.
Yeah. And then being able to tell your past experiences. If you're trying to talk somebody into a colonoscopy, if you've had one yourself, maybe you can help them because maybe they're just as scared of the whole prep and the procedure.
Yes, we take that for granted, how awful the submission. A colonoscopy seems very simple to us who have seen it and experienced it so many times. But many of the men we're talking about have never set foot in a hospital except to visit their dying parents.
Or birth of a child.
That's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And it's very humiliating to take all your clothes off, lay on a cold bed in a room with other people and answer the same questions over and over. And you really have to tell them why it's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we take that for granted. And I don't dismiss it. I try to tell them up front, it is a long day, but the payoff is worth it. And if you do good, we won't ask you to do it again for a long time.
That's right. That always gives them a little bit of incentive.
That gave me
Could be 10 years.
Oh, no. That gave me the incentive.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a lot less humiliating than having colon cancer and a colectomy or an ostomy bag. We've all had friends that died at young age from colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And the age of colon cancer is getting younger. We're finding more advanced cases, and they recently changed screening to 45 from 50, and it's important.
That's what I say. 45 is the new 50.
Yeah.
Right. I say 54 is the new 30 also.
Okay.
Yeah. Really?
It's not a health-related issue. It's just because I'm 54.
You're 30 in your mind?
In my mind only.
But, going back to and you're talking about like the USPSTF, the guidelines that are put out by the government for the listeners, and it was 50.
Correct.
And that has, they did drop that. Was that last year they did that? I'm trying to remember.
It's been within the last couple of years sure.
To 45, and a lot of people are shocked by that. Mm-hmm. They didn't realize, the word has not gotten out.
Yes, there was a big push several years ago when Katie Couric's husband died of colon cancer.
True.
Did a remarkable job. People, I think colonoscopy went way up back then.
Mm-hmm.
But it is falling off. There are alternatives to colonoscopy for colon cancer screening, but at least have the discussion. Mm-hmm. One thing that's really changed in my lifetime in medicine is people don't die from breast cancer and colon cancer anymore. It just takes a little bit of effort to really save your life.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That is a good point. Well, I'm going to change the subject
just
a little bit.
We've covered the colon very well.
We did. We did. The lower half. Well, we're still going to talk about the lower half of the body.
Understood.
So, we're going to dive into what really matters when it comes to men's health. And, my personal experience with my husband having prostate cancer at an early age. Mm-hmm. He had family history. You encouraged him. We got all the right treatment. And, you know, I'm very thankful for that because it was found early. But let's talk about, because June is actually, National Men's Health Month, and I don't think it gets the spotlight that it really deserves as far as prostate health.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't care, let's talk about prostate health and what should men, when should they start screening according to the guidelines and you know, risk factors? And then we'll talk about what to expect.
There's been changes in recommendations for prostate cancer screening. Mm-hmm. We're trying to identify cancers that will shorten your life or hurt your life, not cancers that will never hurt you.
Right.
So there's still controversy around the best way to screen for prostate cancer, but there's no question that we should. Most men should start screening at 55 if they're low risk and they don't have any family members and they're not African American. Mm-hmm. African American men, men with family history, mm-hmm. they should really consider screening at 45.
Yes. Okay.
And we don't talk about that enough. That's also been a relatively recent change. There's controversy around PSA. Mm-hmm. A high PSA does not mean you absolutely have cancer. It just means we have more work to do.
Mm-hmm. That's a good myth. Say that again. So a high, and
a
we're
high
talking
PSA,
a blood.
This is a simple blood test, a non-fasting blood test, and most labs say up to 4 is normal. Mm-hmm. But I have many patients who have levels that are double normal or triple normal, and it's just from enlargement.
Yes.
And
very good point.
Just because you get a high PSA, don't go shopping for coffins and crying. We just have more work to do. We can cure prostate cancer now.
Good. Okay. I think that's an important fact for the listeners to understand, because you do have patients come in, they're like, well, my PSA was high, I've got cancer,
right?
And that is not the truth
necessarily.
We need to investigate further. Dr. Ernie Buchanan from Upper Cumberland Family Physicians, discussing importance of men's health in the Upper Cumberland. Dr. Ernie Buchanan is our guest on Local Matters, Health Matters. We are talking National Men's Health Month. I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry.
And I'm Dr. Emily Lee.
Nursing professors from Tennessee Tech University. Dr. Buchanan, in our last segment, we were talking about men's health and then prostate health. We talked about blood tests that you can get. What else should men expect if they come into your office for a prostate screening?
It's not your dad's prostate screening. You don't have to have a finger in your rectum to get your prostate screened anymore.
Good to know.
If that's been keeping you out of the office, come on in. We don't do that to you anymore. A PSA is a simple non-fasting blood test, and the results usually back in a day or two. And we'll often do a urine analysis looking for abnormal cells. Sometimes we will do a rectal exam if there's a symptom we're concerned about, but as a routine matter, come in, you will not be violated for your prostate screening.
And that's important to know, because I do believe that's why
it scares people.
Many men do not come in for that test. They think that's going to happen every time, so good to know.
And if you do have a doctor that's doing that every time, maybe look around.
No, I would.
I'm just kidding.
I'm not.
I mean, unless it's a urologist. If it's a urologist, then sure,
that's true.
You're going to
expect urologist. But I still wouldn't expect it every time.
Absolutely not.
Okay,
no.
There you go. What about, there is a huge growing interest, and you see them on commercials, you see it on social media apps, about hormone replacement for men. What do you suggest, and what's safe?
It's not one size fits all,
but
there is certainly a role for testosterone supplementation in men. Any man that goes to any urinal in Cookeville will probably see an ad for some place that offers testosterone replacement.
Mm-hmm.
There are definite benefits to it, but there are some risks or cautions you should take. There was recently a very large study called the Resolve Study that really made us feel safer about testosterone replacement. Heart attacks and strokes aren't as present as we thought they were. There's a very slight increased risk of atrial fibrillation and pulmonary embolus or a blood clot in the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Your doctor, your provider should be talking to you about your risk for that. Yeah. If you have a history of clotting disorders or prostate disease, you want to think twice about that, but you can certainly be evaluated for testosterone replacement, and it can be very beneficial in some men.
How do you evaluate somebody for testosterone replacement?
It's based on their symptoms. If a patient is without symptoms, I try to discourage them from checking it. Because if you feel well, testosterone is not guaranteed to make you feel better. It's also a simple blood test, a non-fasting blood test usually, although testosterone levels vary wildly even within the day. a normal level is considered anywhere, depending on which lab, anywhere from 250 to 800.
Mm-hmm.
That alone should tell you there's some doubt about what an optimal level is.
Yeah, that's a big range.
A man that comes in with a 300 or 400, should you spend money to make that number 700 or 800? I don't usually think so. But if you have a very low testosterone and you have a lot of symptoms, fatigue and tiredness is something we all have.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've seen a decline in your function and your ability to interact with the people you love,
mm-hmm.
that's something that might make a difference. They first started studying testosterone to help old men recover from surgery, and it's really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's expanded into what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Testosterone supplementation or replacement is not the same as optimization. There's a lot of people out there that are given testosterone to get stronger, optimize their health, lengthen their life. That's a different discussion.
Yeah, let's talk about that,
Dan. Well, I think there's the anytime you expose yourself to something, the more of it there is, the greater the risk.
Yes.
And if someone is promoting very high testosterone levels, 800, 900, 1,000 all the time, if you're having to repeatedly go donate blood because your red cell count is too high,
mm-hmm.
if your face is red mm-hmm. all the time, if you're angry, if you're 60 years old and have pimples on your back, that's too much testosterone. I don't care about your bench press.
Good.
Cut
that's
it
a
down.
Good point.
Cut it down. Mm-hmm. There's a role for it.
Yeah.
Men often think if a little bit is good, a lot is better. This
is
not
true.
The case
that is
with
true.
Testosterone.
Yeah. And you mentioned there are a lot of risks that you need to be aware of, but there are side effects and some negative side effects, even though it's meant to help a lot of the symptoms you're having, but there are some negative side effects that go along with it too.
Correct. Existing prostate disease can be made worse. Most men don't know their prostate grows for as long as they live. And
mm-hmm.
if you're lucky enough to live long enough, eventually your urine stream will slow. You'll have to go to the bathroom more often. If you've ever been to a Rush concert, it's an older crowd. It's the only concert. It's the only time you can go to a stadium and the line for the men's room is twice as long as the women's room.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can get my wife to go see Rush.
Because she knows the bathroom line's short.
And she
her.
Cares about prostate health.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That is perfect. I'm glad your wife is concerned about prostate health.
Yes.
I was concerned. I mean, like I said, my husband has had prostate cancer. And that's another myth that – let's talk about testosterone replacement.
Right.
So people believe that if you have prostate cancer – so, for instance, my husband had his prostate removed. It's public knowledge. He had, but can that person have testosterone replacement after prostate?
Yeah, it's possible. Yes, it is. Absolutely. Testosterone can stimulate prostate tissue.
Right.
It can stimulate existing prostate cancer tissue.
Yes.
But
If
you haven't been tested, mm-hmm. and that's why you should sort of know your prostate health before you start testosterone replacement.
Yeah.
And if somebody's prescribing you testosterone and they act surprised when you ask them that, keep looking.
Keep looking. I agree.
Good point.
Let's talk about functional medicine.
Sure.
We talked about optimizing, you know, optimal medicine. I also see that. I see advertisements for that in bathrooms, social media, functional medicine. I see, you know, go to this 12-week course and learn functional medicine as an RN.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that.
There's a big trend in optimization, longevity, functional medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of different names.
Yeah.
The idea behind it that you would change your lifestyle and diet to have a healthier life is wonderful and noble and should be pursued.
Right.
I have a lot of questions when you have to buy mega doses of a supplement from only one person.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem when someone says, don't tell your doctor you're doing this. I've certainly seen functional medicine providers do that.
Mm.
But I've seen some of them help patients think about what they eat and how they exercise and improve their life. And if that's what they're doing, I think that's good.
I do too.
But you shouldn't have to spend hundreds of dollars on supplements. What you need to be healthy is in the grocery store or in your heart, not a supplement bottle.
No, that's a good point. And that kind of rolls into...
Let me say there's room for supplements. I'm not anti-supplement. There's a lot of great supplements.
Good. No, I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
They shouldn't cost hundreds of dollars a month.
And you shouldn't only be able to get them from one person.
You should have several
brand.
Choices.
Yes,
this
you
is stuff we
choices.
Get out of the dirt.
Yes.
You shouldn't have to pay $100
yes.
for special magnesium or anything
I agree.
Like
yeah, I agree. Or a special, preparation of it.
Special preparation.
So what do lifestyle factors like that, like diet, exercise, sleep, play in men's overall health and that hormone balance?
I think that's all of it. That's
okay.
all there is. Diet, health, your lifestyle, your diet, and your sleep will keep you alive longer and kill you sooner if you're not doing it right than anything else. So manage your stress, get your exercise, and you'll live longer. You can get healthy in the grocery store.
Yeah, I agree. And I know you do too, tell people to stay on the outside of the grocery store. Fruits, vegetables, fresh fruit.
Not outside the doors.
Not in the car.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
I try to stay in the car.
Yeah.
Well,
you
or not even
do.
Go.
You probably do with your wife. No, inside the grocery store itself, you have to actually walk in.
The healthier stuff's around the outside.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's always around the outside and all the stuff in the middle, the frozen food aisles, the processed foods. Those should be minimized.
All right, more on important men's health information and misinformation with Dr. Ernie Buchanan when we come back. Our guest today is Dr. Ernie Buchanan from Upper Cumberland Family Physicians on Local Matters, Health Matters. So we've talked a lot about men's health. It's National Men's Health Month in June. We've talked a little bit about prevention. So let's talk about information or misinformation. We've talked a little bit about myth, but what are some of the common myths or misunderstandings that you hear from male patients regarding their health?
Male patients often think that testosterone replacement will improve sexual function. Mm-hmm. It may, in fact, help interest in sex and libido, but erectile dysfunction doesn't usually respond very well to testosterone therapy. Okay. It's not one that doesn't fix everything. There are lots of medications for sexual dysfunction that are safe, and they are no longer extremely expensive. And those are things men are hesitant to talk about, and they often think if they tried one, there's no point in ever trying again, and there probably is a reason to try it again. Also, those medicines may not work the first or second time, but they may work the fourth or fifth time, and maybe your dose is wrong.
Okay.
The other thing that's not unique to men, this is all patients, is that a Z-Pak before your vacation will not eradicate your viral illness. Snot will stay with you for 2 weeks, no matter how many things I prescribe you, and you may cough even longer. That's one that doesn't seem to be sticking with people. I understand that people are miserable, but sometimes we can hurt you with the treatment.
Yes.
And we try to talk about it as much as we can.
That is a good point. Antibiotics are not good for viral illnesses or allergies.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Which we're seeing
a lot of right now.
This is harvest time for doctors and providers everywhere because the pollen is so high, antibiotics won't help. Come in and we'll tell you some things you can do.
Good.
Okay, good.
So continuing on that misinformation information, let's talk about vaccines, especially. Are there certain vaccines you recommend for men, especially as they get older? I know there's a lot of new vaccines on the scene in the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But what do you like to specifically recommend?
Not unique to men, but certainly all patients. Shingles vaccine starting at age 50. Pneumonia vaccines now recommended at age 50. Talk to your doctor about that. We now have RSV vaccine, which seems to be very effective. Benefits of COVID vaccine vary from patient to patient. That's a complicated discussion, but it's worth having with somebody you trust. There are new vaccines coming all the time, but shingles will make you miserable and pneumonia will kill you, and those are very effective vaccines. They're made differently than the COVID vaccine for people that still mistrust that particular method for making a vaccine.
Right.
And I push those on everyone. A unique subgroup may be men who have sex with men. Sometimes we'll emphasize hepatitis A and B and HPV, even in some cases. Those are good for all people, but men who have sex with men have a little bit of higher risk for some of those things.
What about flu?
My goodness, yes. Everybody should get the flu every single year. That's such a fact. That's like saying you should breathe.
Okay, I agree.
Just go get it. And some years we hit a home run with it, but some years we hit a single, but that's still, even when it's not a good vaccine, you don't get as sick.
Right.
And I've been getting it every year since I was 18, and I haven't had the flu since I was 17. And when they say last time I got the flu shot, I got the flu.
Right, yes, that's a myth.
I don't argue with them
nope,
because I
don't
know
either.
They'll never believe me again,
nope.
But it's not true.
I agree.
Right.
Not true. But a lot of people think that, and that's why they don't get it. Same, and so then that carries over to the pneumonia shot. I have had patients say, well, does it give me pneumonia?
It does not.
It does not.
It does not. Pneumonia vaccine's gotten very sophisticated and complicated. There's more than one type of pneumonia vaccine.
Yeah, there's a lot.
But the technology in general has made this a safer world. Medicine's greatest successes have been vaccines. When I was a medical student a long time ago, we often saw children with strep pneumonia, meningococcus. It was, if you had an infant under 2 months with a fever, they got a spinal tap and stayed in the hospital for 5 days because you could die or go deaf from that. We rarely see that anymore. You rarely hear about a child getting a lumbar puncture anymore, and that is straight up strep pneumonia vaccine.
Yeah.
So I love that one.
Yeah. What about meningococcal?
Meningococcal is another one we push for a lot of people, especially college students, people where an outbreak can occur.
Close living quarters.
Living in dorms.
It's probably good for everybody, but especially people in close contact living quarters.
What about pertussis?
Pertussis is another one. We have seen pertussis cases. Pertussis is often sort of paired with our tetanus, our tetanus prevention. But I'm not sure I've ever seen a case of tetanus, but I have seen lots of cases of pertussis.
Same.
And I love the chance to give somebody a tetanus shot to protect them from pertussis. I have seen pertussis. Everybody's seen pertussis a lot. So I like that one too. And we do forget that one.
I just know where I work. I'm always thinking about pertussis if somebody comes back with a cough for weeks.
And never-ending cough.
Never-ending,
Been on multiple antibiotics.
Yep. And it's not any better.
And it's not any better. Mm-hmm. That's something I have to think about.
Yeah, it is. Good. That was great advice. So how do you counter the mindset then for men for getting regular checkups, preventative care? How do you in your practice?
It varies from person to person. Some men respond to fear tactics. I'll tell them stories of patients that died because they didn't have a colonoscopy, or patients that we saved because they got the prostate cancer screening. That's effective. Many men have people in their life that were hurt by healthcare and they don't trust us, and we have to earn that trust back. It is a difficult conversation sometimes, and you have to get it a little piece at a time. One of the advantages I have is I get to know them over many years.
Right.
And I've had patients where it's been on the third, fourth year of seeing them, they finally concede to the colonoscopy. So you just can't give up. And if you're going to somebody and they keep asking you and you keep telling them no, it's because they love you and they want you to live, not because.
True. They're not trying to push anything on you.
Yeah, I don't get paid more for you getting a colonoscopy.
No, exactly.
I do get paid more if you live.
I do
and
get
I
paid.
Want that.
That's exactly right.
There you go.
There
That's
is the
point.
Incentive. Mm-hmm. Incentive.
That's a good point. You're developing good relationships with your patients. And, you know, knowledge is power. So you want them to have that knowledge. So you keep telling them every year, you know, this is your risk. This is why I want you to do it.
Right. And they'll usually come along gradually.
You know, and that's something that when we, you know, you have patients that come in and have looked on their phone, have looked up a disease or looked up their symptoms. How do you feel about that when patients come in? There was an episode on a TV show recently about they were looking at Dr. Google.
Right.
And it actually made me laugh because I was like, yeah, sometimes I feel like that. It's like, you know, what do you want me to do for you? But how do you feel about people looking that up? Because I feel like I need you to tell me the full story and then let's decide together.
Right.
So I don't know what.
I agree with you. There's a lot of true, good information on Google, but it's kind of like a gold mine. You have to dig through a lot of mud and crap to get the gold. And the gold is in there, and I can help you find the gold.
Good.
Yeah. I always tell them, if you're looking at something on Google or on a web page, who wrote it? Who's getting paid? Where did this come from? What's their motivation? And come talk to me about it. I want them to be educated, but it's very easy to go down a black hole of misinformation.
It really is.
And it's more prevalent than ever.
Yes, with smart devices, everybody has one, or somebody has an aunt or an uncle.
I saw a reel the other day, and it was a young woman saying, these are tests your doctor will never tell you about. And she was right, because they're useless. Right? And But it's said in such an ominous tone.
Yeah.
You know, that your doctor's hiding this.
It got your attention.
And it was clickbait, and there I was looking at that. That would be my other thing is if you're looking at that and it's making you feel bad, turn it off.
Good.
That's not good for your mental health. And that was the message.
That's a perfect segue. Right. Mental health. Mm-hmm. So is a big part of physical health. How do you approach that with male patients, especially those who are maybe reluctant to open up? And we've talked about trust, and you see people over many years, and I know that's a part of it. But is there any other, you know, cues or tips that you want to tell listeners about mental health and specifically men?
Men don't like to talk about their feelings with anyone, and many of us deny we have them. But I usually ask them what they've been doing for fun and what they plan to do for fun next. And if they don't have anything, then I spend some time there because that's a pretty big sign of depression.
Yeah.
And we can sometimes talk about sleep. We can sometimes talk about what's going on in their life that way. In men, the depression, I can't remember a man ever saying, I feel sad and hopeless and cry all the time. Yet that's what our screening test asks.
I know. Yeah. Not yet.
But I have seen men that have gone opening day turkey hunt for the last 10 years, and now they're sitting at home on the couch. That person needs to come get some help.
Right, yeah.
And men are better at suicide than women. That's unique. And in our culture, we have access to deadly means because it's in our culture. Mm-hmm. And identifying that can make a difference. I regret every suicide death in a man because there's almost never been a discussion. It's always a surprise.
Yeah.
And it almost never had to be.
Yeah. Good point. So firearm safety.
Right.
Do you talk about that? And then go back to the screening tools for depression. I know in my practice and Dr. Lee's practice, there's these certain screening tools.
Do you feel sad or hopeless?
Yes.
It's emphasis. This is coming in from a good place.
I think
insurers
and
Medicare wants us to identify mental health because they recognize it. But that's a screening that can miss a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit off-putting for some people. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have to just work through that with them.
Mm-hmm.
But if a patient can't report something they're looking forward to or something they've done that they like lately, that's a big problem.
It is a big problem. Yeah. And life just kind of gets you down sometimes, and people need to talk about it.
Especially these days. And, and I would say if you're looking at things that make you mad or fight with your family, turn it off. And I'm talking about YouTube. I'm talking about
the news.
Look at some babies laughing or puppies playing.
Turn off all that angry
stuff.
Yes, I agree. So we just have
listen
a few.
Listen to News Talk.
That's right.
Listen to News Talk.
94.1.
And so we just have a few seconds left. So what is your biggest piece of advice for men in the Upper Cumberland who want to stay healthy, active?
Come and see somebody that cares about you, a primary care provider, a doctor, a nurse practitioner that will take good care of you. Food is medicine. Stress is poison.
Very good.
Awesome advice. Thank you again to Dr. Ernie Buchanan from Upper Cumberland Family Physicians. We really appreciate you joining us today. This is Local Matters, Health Matters. Until next time, take care and make your health a priority.